The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
So, Candace Owens is in the news today. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. Candace Owens, the conservative commentator, you probably have seen her on Fox News Channel a time or two. She hangs her hat with the folks over at the Daily Wire in Nashville. Candace Owens is making headlines because she had to go and get some sort of a China virus test. As is the rule, I guess, if you want to go out of the country, if you want to go to New York City, you're going to have to go and get some sort of a China virus test. That is the law of the land. And so Candace Owens was doing her duty as an American citizen the other day, and she went to get a China virus exam, one of these so-called COVID tests. And when she did, she was denied service. And she was denied service because, not because she's a black woman, not because she's a woman. She was denied service because of her political beliefs. It's unbelievable this happened, but it happened. The name of the company, by the way, Aspen Laboratories, that is the name of the company. The co-founder, Susanna Lee, sent Candace a letter, an email, saying that she was being denied service because of her aversion to the face mask mandates, as well as whether or not the vaccine shots were actually effective. I want to read to you some of the letter that Ms. Lee wrote to Candace Owens. And keep in mind that the only reason Candace Owens was denied service is because of her politics. They clearly went and as they were, you know, when she made the appointment, I guess they Googled, and maybe that's the habit over there. Maybe over at Aspen Laboratories, they Google the patients to see what their political viewpoints and political leanings are. That happened to me a time or two. I'll get into that in just a minute. This is an intriguing story because now we're in a society, folks, where doctors and medical companies are playing politics with your health. Now, here's what Susanna Lee, the co-founder of Aspen Laboratories, wrote. We cannot support anyone who has proactively worked to make this pandemic worse by spreading misinformation, politicizing, and discouraging the wearing of masks and actively dissuading people from receiving life-saving vaccinations. And so she told Ms. Owens that she would not be able to get a medical test, a medical exam, at the laboratory. Does that sound like America to you folks? Does that sound like America, the kind of America that you want to live in? Can you just imagine? Oh, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. You have a broken arm. I see the bone is sticking out of your skin. Oh, that must be incredibly painful. Hold on just a second, Mr. Starnes. Oh, Mr. Starnes, we just looked you up in the system. It says here, Mr. Starnes, that you voted for Donald Trump. Yes, I did. Well, Mr. Starnes, I'm sorry, but we're not going to be able to fix your arm here because, you see, we're run by Democrats. This is a hospital just for Democrats, so we will not be able to fix your arm. Is that the kind of a country you want to live in, America? Sorry, pal, you voted for Trump. Good luck fixing your arm. That's basically what they told Candace Owens. So Ms. Owens replied to all of this, and she's right to be upset here. Because, look, it doesn't matter if you believe the vaccine is effective or not. She was doing her duty as an American citizen. So the only person playing politics here was the owner of this laboratory, who, by the way, needs to be out of business. So we did a little bit of research here, and there's been some confusion as to whether or not this was actually a legal thing that the medical company did. Can they deny medical service? Can they deny a test to Candace Owens? Now, if you look at the civil rights, now, according to the law, the Civil Rights Act, you're not allowed to deny medical service based on a variety of things. And we have these listed on the website, toddstarnes.com. You are not allowed to deny medical service because of a person's skin color. You're not allowed to deny service based on a person's sexual orientation or their age or their religion or their national origin. Well, maybe somebody ought to consider adding politics or political persuasion to that list. But it does make you wonder, are there other people out there? Are there other people in the medical profession that are doing the same thing? Because this pro-vaccination crowd, these people are like fundamentalists. I mean, they are the real deal. These pro-vaccination people, they are like a cult. They worship at the altar of St. Fauci. And I'm telling you, it's almost, and again, they're not killing people, but it's sort of Taliban-like, this cult-like experience for the pro-vaccination crowd. And if you don't get the vaccine, I mean, they're coming after you. They wish you ill will. These are very, very mean people. And I know because they reach out to me all the time. But I want to stop here for a moment because this has actually happened to me. Grace, I was I've been going through several medical problems, and I don't want to be specific here.
Sure.
Because I'm not sure of the nature of the conversations. I don't know if it was meant to be nefarious or what. But I have had some procedures done, and one in particular, the doctor came in and said, "I just want you to know I'm a liberal.
Oh.
And I disagree with your politics."
Oh, what?
And I'm like,
okay,
what the heck does that mean? I'm like, all right.
What does that have to do with anything?
I mean, I wasn't quite sure. He wasn't laughing, and I just assumed that he was trying to be humorous.
Yeah, that's what I would think. Like, oh, he's making a joke.
Right.
Because you're pretty well known. I mean, it wouldn't be shocking if you recognized
your
name.
Well, you see, in my estimation, I don't think I'm that well known, but I guess I am. But in my mind, I'm like, oh my gosh, what is this person going to do to me?
He Facebook stalked you.
So, and you know what procedure I'm talking about here.
I do.
And I'm just like,
very important.
I'm not sure I want somebody messing around. Was just sort of creepy.
I understand. Very creepy.
So I try to be as incognito as possible because you don't know. You don't know, especially in New York City. Back in New York City,
Oh no. It
was really bad. And there were a couple of, I mean, because the doctors will just tell you, you know, oh, it's you. I mean, they would know who I was.
I'd be like, okay, bye. Going somewhere else.
Right, exactly. So at that point, you're wondering, okay, your anxiety level is already high, but then it goes up a couple of notches because you don't know.
I mean, we're not talking about changing your hair color here. We're talking about something a little more permanent.
Exactly. I mean, if you've got And so it sort of freaked me out because you realize, well, wait a second, I hope I wake up. I mean, maybe they think they're doing a service to the liberal community by offing Starnes on the operating table.
Gosh.
And again, and then afterwards you feel bad thinking that way.
Sure.
And then comes the story of Candace Owens who can't even get a China virus test.
Because you might be thinking, oh, I'm just paranoid, you know. Then you see that is weird. I mean, she's just trying to get a test.
She's trying to get a
test.
She's
doing what she's supposed to do.
Exactly. Now, if the China virus is really as bad as they say it is, if the pandemic is really as bad as they say it is, why would this clinic refuse to provide medical treatment and medical care?
Mm.
Why would they do that if it was really as bad as they say? And again, this goes back to the overarching question. If this thing really is as bad as they say, okay, well, why is it that they allow Barack Hussein Obama to have a big birthday party and infect most of Martha's Vineyard? I mean, why did they allow that to happen? If it really is as bad as they say it is, why did Chicago host Lollapalooza? And you had all these young people running around doing Lord knows what to Lord knows who. Why is that? So there you go, folks. A very weird story. Candace Owens, and she needs to pursue this. We cannot have a medical industry that has been politicized, but clearly it has been. The China virus has politicized the medical industry. And now we're in a point, at a point, where if they know you are a conservative, you could be targeted. You could have some sort of a scarlet letter on your forehead saying, do not treat this person, do not revive this person because of their conservative politics. Unbelievable. And quite frankly, a violation. I understand this is a clinic, but this is a violation of morality, especially when it comes to the medical community. That's all I'm saying. All right, look, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. What should happen to this clinic? Should they shut down the clinic? Should the clinic director, the founder, be punished for refusing to provide medical? What do you think would have happened? Honestly, she could have made the case, well, they did it because of the color of my skin. But clearly, with the letters, we know why it happened. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
So I was trying to find a part for my Cadillac the other day, but instead of going down to the auto store, I went online to rockauto.com and I saved a ton of money. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for the professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, just like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require membership or an account to log in. The best part about it, RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And here's what I also want you to do. Write Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that I sent you to rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, just got a note from one of our listeners down in Ocala, Florida. And the guy writes in, hello, Mr. Starnes. I can't share my real name with you. And I'd like to show you my company's new policy, if you will, about COVID-19. I believe this should fall in line with medical discrimination and a violation of HIPAA confidentiality. I would like your thoughts about it, but please keep the company name off topic for possible backlash. So he sent me a copy of this, and I want to read it to you. And this is the deal at this particular company in Ocala, Florida. Effective September 1st, we will begin offering pay for time off for COVID-19 absences. So if you are, if you have COVID-19 or you've got some sort of a COVID-19 related issue, they're going to pay you for that, for time off. The benefit is a maximum of 80 hours. Employees must be vaccinated to receive the benefit, and you must provide the company proof of vaccination. COVID-19 pay does not apply retroactively to past cases. And they also, this company also requires a 100% mask mandate for both vaccinated and unvaccinated employees. So the question here, this guy writes in, says, I believe this is medical discrimination, which it certainly sounds like that. Why the China virus? Why not any other illnesses? But beyond that, why is it your company's business what your health issues are? And he wants to know if this is a violation of HIPAA confidentiality. All right, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So look, the jobs report is out, and it is not good. It's off by a half a million, ladies and gentlemen, a half million. And it's, I mean, there's no way of getting around that this is a horrible situation. But I want to explain something. Well, you know what? We're going to play some audio here. These are the talking heads on cable news channel discussing how crazy the economic report is. Cut three.
Breaking news this morning. The August jobs report is out, and it is a lot worse than we thought. The U.S. economy adding just 235,000 jobs in August, with the unemployment rate now at 5.2%. But that is a lot lower than the 720,000 jobs we expected. It follows several months of gains. And now we have clarity on the Delta variant's impact as we try to get back to normal. But what we are in is the I don't know economy. And with delayed returns to work and school and inflation hurting our recovery, where we go from here is still a big question mark.
Before that, he is expected to speak about the latest jobs report, which was a huge disappointment, frankly, a huge surprise. The economy added just 235,000 jobs. That missed projections by half a million. Let's begin with Christine Romans. Christine, projection estimates had this above 700,000. I mean, that's 485,000 jobs short. How? Why?
And even the whisper number was 400,000 or 500,000 if you thought this was going to be a disappointment. So economists really undershot this or overshot this.
Back with breaking news, the August jobs report crossed just moments ago. The United States economy added 235,000 new jobs. Around 720,000 had been expected. Joining us now, NBC News senior business correspondent, MSNBC anchor who follows us here, Stephanie Ruhle. Steph, help me out with this number. 235,000 jobs added versus a projection of 720,000. What happened?
And coming after July when we had over 900,000. Huge slowdown, Willie. Yes, we are still in an economic recovery. But for those who thought we are booming, we are racing, we're absolutely not seeing what we thought we were going to see. We are seeing wages go up a smidge. That's positive news. And economists, I'm telling you, they are going to be writing PhD papers about this for years over the fact that there are millions of open jobs in this country. Yes, many of them are lower wage jobs, trucking jobs, service jobs, hospitality jobs that aren't getting filled, with Americans asking, well, why isn't that the case? Now, we know that from last month to this month, we saw Delta variant on the rise, more businesses delay return to work. So a lot of ancillary businesses might not have brought workers back so quickly. But the question is going to be, what happens from here, Willie? Remember, we are on the eve of those expanded unemployment benefits running out. We know that that rent moratorium is expiring. And one of the main reasons people weren't going back to work is that they didn't have child care. Kids weren't in school. Now that all of those things are happening right now, this could be the push going forward to get people back to work, because there is a mismatch. Only 250,000 people went back to work, but we know there are lots of open jobs out there.
All right, let me jump in here. Because and this goes on and on and on, folks, and people seem to be stunned, but nobody gets it. Again, nobody gets it. Not even on Fox News Channel. Nobody seems to understand what this is really all about here. We have created a society of lazy people. People who do not want to get out there and do a job. They don't want to work hard. Now, this was already happening within the millennial and Generation Z crowd. Especially the millennials, because they were raised up to think that if they got a college education, remember what Barack Hussein Obama said, everybody's got to get a college education. Even if you want to be a mechanic, even if you want to pump gas, you've got to have a college degree. Well, guess what happened? A lot of people went out there. They got college degrees. They didn't need a college degree. And now many of them are saddled with massive student loans and they got no jobs. and nobody wants to work because the millennials think they're entitled to a job. They think they're entitled to just to walk in and get paid $100,000 a year. That's what they think. But I believe the overarching problem is now we have conditioned our country to be lazy. They want to sit at home and they want to get a paycheck. They want everything taken care of. They want the government to take care of every single thing they do in their lives. So, look, we're going to open this up to the conversation here. Are you seeing this as a small business owner? What are you looking for a job? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. My friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Mike created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. The first night you sleep on the Giza sheet, you will never want to sleep on anything else. Giza Dream Sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you get 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets. You receive a set for as low as $49.99. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. You'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-839-8506 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS. Folks, now more than ever, it is so important to support companies and organizations that share our values. Patriot Mobile, they not only share our beliefs, they actually do something about it. They are America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, and they donate a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes you care about. If you switch to Patriot Mobile right now, use the promo code Todd, you will get free activation and a free gift. Veterans and first responders, you guys are going to save even more. It is so easy to switch. All you have to do, go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or you can call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. So let me give you an idea of what's really going on here in the country. I mean, this is the worst jobs report in the history of America, the history of the Republic. I mean, folks, this is a big deal. Many small businesses cannot find workers. They are having a very difficult time trying to get people to work, to get up off of the lazy boy and get out there and put in a hard day's work. I was down at the Chick-fil-A a couple of weeks ago, and I was in the drive-thru. They still haven't opened up the dining room. There were big signs posted all through the drive-thru. And, I mean, they're wanting to hire people, and nobody wants a job, and they're offering all sorts of incredible benefits. I've never seen anything like it. I received a message. Oh, this has been going on for about 2 months now. So my new book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with Withdrawal, it came out in June, and something rather unusual happened. They literally ran out of the first printing. So you guys, there was a mad rush, and the book sold out. And so they put in a second printing. And my publisher called and said, Todd, I hate to break this to you, but we can't find anybody to print the books. They can't find any workers. And there is a six-week backlog before we can get these books printed and get the second printing into the bookstores. And so for many of you, so we're talking about June. The book came out in June. By July, the book had sold out. July 1, no more books available. So finally, last week, the books finally showed up. But, I mean, Grace, we had weeks where people wanted to get the biscuit book and they couldn't get the book.
Oh, yeah, it was rough.
I mean, how do you not find people wanting to work?
That's a great question. I've noticed that everywhere I go. Help wanted signs.
All over the place.
It's sad.
And many restaurants I know here in Memphis, Tennessee, and I don't know what it's like. I am curious to know what it's like in your neighborhoods, but they're cutting hours. So a lot of the restaurants are either closed for dinner or they're closed for lunch.
Exactly. They've had to adjust their hours because they don't have enough people to work.
Not enough people to work.
And you know what? Over the summer, I think there was at least college workers, but now all the college kids are going back to campus this fall, and now just those workers, they're gone now. So I think that's created even more of an issue.
I know even in the radio industry, we've been trying to find salespeople. You know, I own KWAM, the News Talk radio station in Memphis, and we are very competitive with our pay packages, but nobody wants a job. Nobody wants to do sales and radio. So it's an ongoing cycle. And I am not surprised. I am not surprised by this because this is a cultural shift in America. And the Democrats were counting on a government. That's why they wanted to shut down the mom and pop businesses first. They want to condition the society to rely on the federal government for everything they need. Whether that's a place to live, you need a roof over your head, if you need food in your belly, they're going to provide you with the government cheese. They're going to give you a little card. You can go to the grocery store, get whatever the heck you want to get, you can go and get. They're going to take care of your health care. They're going to take care of every single thing you need. Transportation, you got it. They're going to do it. But one day payday is going to be here. Payday is a coming, ladies and gentlemen. And payday is when socialism rears its ugly head and says, surprise, surprise, you are now reliant upon us. Can I just say, not going to work, sitting on your butt and getting a check from the government when you have the ability, because again, it's not like there aren't any jobs available. There are plenty of jobs. Nobody wants to work. So if you are an American citizen and you're sitting on your butt, your behind, your derriere, yes, I said it, derriere. If you're sitting there doing nothing and you're getting a check from the government, you are lazy, you are un-American, and if you're a man, you're not a man. Because if you're a man, you have a responsibility to get out there and provide for your family. Work your butt off. You got to sacrifice. That's what it's really all about. But nobody wants to do that anymore. They want to rely on the government, and you know who's laughing, you know who's smiling, Barack Hussein Obama and the missus. That's who's smiling over all of this. 901-260-5926. That's our telephone number, 901-260-5926. So yesterday afternoon in the White House press briefing, Jen Circleback Psaki went after it with a reporter about abortion. You got to hear this. Cut number two, please.
Following up on the census law, why does the president support abortion when his own Catholic faith teaches abortion is morally wrong?
He believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice.
Why does the president, who does he believe then should look out for the unborn child?
He believes that it's up to a woman to make those decisions, and up to a woman to make those decisions with her doctor. I know you've never faced those choices, nor have you ever been pregnant, but for women out there who have faced those choices, this is an incredibly difficult thing. The president believes their rights should be respected. Go ahead. I think we got to move on. I think we have to move on.
How dare you? I am horrified. Just Grace Baker, I am horrified. I have never heard such transphobia in all my life.
I know. What happened to the birthing people?
Who does Jen Psaki think she is to say that a man can't give birth to a baby? Who are you, you bigot? You horrible transphobic bigot?
I can't believe. Where's the outrage?
Where is the outrage? Harumph, harumph, harumph.
Because now,
where's,
you know,
the outrage?
It was anybody could give birth to a baby, and now it's, oh, women. It's only women.
Well, I can tell you, on this radio program, Grace Baker, we speak for the birthing people of America. And they are owed an apology today. They are owed an apology.
I'm sorry, Todd. I can't. You said that with a straight face. I'm impressed. I almost started just, I was about to start laughing. I was holding it back.
I'm just saying.
I know. It's just, it's madness.
If it had been Sarah Huckabee Sanders, they would have run her out of the building.
Oh, no.
Oh, I just can't believe it.
That's true.
Shame on you.
Can you imagine if it was anybody else? It would be like, oh my gosh, that's so transphobic. And now it's like, oh no, yeah, women's rights. It's like, whoa, 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 wait. What happened? Thought it was the birthing people.
It was a legitimate
chest feeding. Remember,
It was a legitimate question.
I got you there.
Chest feeding. Yes.
I mean, I know that's what they're trying to call it now.
If I were whoever the reporters are out there, what's the who's the Fox guy?
Peter Ducey.
Yeah, his daddy works at Fox and Friends. Yes. Yeah, that's how he got the job. So anyway, if Ducey, you know what I would love to see is Ducey ask the question. Well, Miss Circleback, are you going to apologize to the transgender community because you have clearly offended them by suggesting that men cannot give birth? I would love to see that happen, but I don't think any of the White House press people are that clever. They should be, and back in the day they used to be, but I just don't think they're that clever. So look, I was on Newsmax yesterday afternoon, and I was asked about all of this. Cut number one, please.
Seeing is really just a good old-fashioned meltdown. And politically, I think that's one of the great benefits of this victory at the Supreme Court is just watching the left have a meltdown moment, because candidly, the left has gotten used to having a monopoly on culture and cultural issues, many of which, like this issue, are life and death. And they're not used to being challenged, and they're not used to losing. And even though this ruling is very narrow, it's still a loss for the left. And you know you're doing something right when Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi are crying on Twitter.
You know, Todd, I want to play again that exchange between White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki and a reporter earlier today. Watch.
Following up on the census law, why does the president support abortion when his own Catholic faith teaches abortion is morally wrong?
Well, he believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice.
Why does the president, who does he believe then should look out for the unborn child?
He believes that it's up to a woman to make those decisions, and up to a woman to make those decisions with her doctor. I know you've never faced those choices, nor have you ever been pregnant, but for women out there who have faced those choices, this is an incredibly difficult thing. The president believes their rights should be respected. Go ahead. I think we've got to move on. I think we have to move on.
You know, Todd, not only is this a faith thing, it's a science thing, and the Democratic Party keeps trying to say it's the party of science and truth. But at the end of the day, this is a heartbeat bill. So once a heartbeat is detected at 6 weeks, that's once an abortion can't happen. But they're not bringing that up. They're not bringing the science up at all in this argument, which I find fascinating.
Well, I do too. And what I find even more sickening and perverse is Jen Circleback Psaki here. The fact of the matter is, when you look at someone like President Biden, someone who professes to be a Catholic, this man is not a Catholic. He is not a religious man, especially if he believes that it's okay to kill an unborn baby. You know, the vice president said something yesterday, Vice President Kamala Harris. She said that this legislation disproportionately affects minority babies. And you know what? She's absolutely right. It does. It disproportionately saves minority babies from these abortion mills. And the reality is, here in America, if you want to kill your unborn baby, don't go to Texas.
Oh, well, there you go. When I'm doing these TV hits, you got to get right to the point. And that's the point. If you don't want to kill your unborn baby, don't go to the Lone Star State. Hey, let's go to the phones here, 901-260-5926. Doug, North Carolina, what's on your mind today?
A couple of comments, Mr. Starnes. Retired Navy corpsman here. Libertarian, but I got a couple of kind of semi-fun things to share with you. Number one, I couldn't agree with you more about what the conditioning is that's going on to drive our country towards socialism. My feeling is that any idiot with more than two brain cells sparking together should recognize that. And I can't agree with you more. Number two, and then I'll listen to your commentary when I get off the phone. Number two, my black lab could do a better job evacuating Americans from Afghanistan than Biden ever could. And the last thing, I hope I get a chuckle from you. Do you know what the initials in Biden's last name mean?
I cannot wait to hear this one, Doug.
Being idiotic daily, even now.
Doug, very clever. Very clever, Doug. Good call. Thank you for listening. Wow, that's, I love it. We've got the smartest and may I say this, wittiest audience in all of talk radio. That I will say that. By the way, I'm curious, and I guess we should have asked Doug this question. We are hearing reports from many of you that the military is having a hard time hitting its recruitment numbers, and I'm wondering why you think that is. So, according to the Army, they are down 20%. So they are not hitting their targets. More and more American kids, teenagers, are not signing up for the military under the Biden administration. And I'm curious why you think that is and how dangerous is that. 901-260-5926. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
So a lot of moms and dads around the country are telling their kids, don't you join. Do not join the military. And especially they're telling, and this is coming from white parents who are afraid their kids are going to get sucked into the critical race theory or, quite frankly, punished in the military because of CRT. But Jeremy Mitchell is an Army sergeant, a sniper team leader. He served in Afghanistan, Greenville, North Carolina. And he says, you know what? I got four boys, and he's counseling them not to join the military because of all the critical race theory and because, quite frankly, of what just happened in Afghanistan. Unbelievable what's happening in our military. It's been turned back into a social engineering petri dish. That's what the Democrats use the military for. Let's go to the phones. Memphis, Tennessee. Billy listening to us on KWAM. All right, Billy, what's going on?
Well, I don't think the parents are raising their kids right anymore. They're not having a sense of service and not having a sense of respect and loyalty. And then when they're not raised like that, they don't have no interest in joining the military.
So you think it's more of a parental thing than maybe a political issue?
Well, politics does play a part in it. I was a recruiter, and I'm still in the military. And it don't have anything really to do with the Biden administration or the Trump administration or going back to Obama. There are going to be some people that don't join because who's president, but there's going to be a wash because then there's going to be people that join just because of who's president. So the low numbers is just a product of these kids growing up not being raised right.
So when you look at the numbers, are you surprised that, I mean, the Army says they're 20% down and they're having a hard time getting people to sign up and volunteer for the military?
No, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised one bit because it's hard to get people. Because, you know, like I said, I was a recruiter. And to say I talked to 100 people that want to join, or I got interest in joining. Well, out of those 100 people, after we do everything that needs to be done, their qualifications, their scores, everything that counts up, I get three.
Is that right? Just three out of what? So what is it? I mean, they come in, clearly they're interested. What is it that turns them away?
Being away from home, being away from mama and daddy, their girlfriends. What is it going to do for me? It ain't going to do nothing for me. Why should I do that? I can't have somebody yelling at me, telling me what to do. It's got to have, we have how they're raised these days.
Well, it sounds to me like we've got an entitlement generation. We certainly had an entitlement generation with the millennial crowd, and it's you know, I think the same thing is happening with this new generation, Generation Z. Billy, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 44.
Yeah, so you were raised right. I mean, there is clearly something happening in the culture where there's this idea of you are entitled, you're special, you should, here, let me do that for you. You shouldn't have to worry about stuff. And unfortunately, we're raising a generation of wusses.
Well, there are some parents out there raising a generation of wusses, but I'm not. All my kids are doing what they're supposed to do, so I'm making sure they do. And I got a son right now that's in AIT. Right now, he finished boot camp a couple weeks ago, and now he's an AIT learning his trade, and then he's going to do his part to serve the country.
Well, it sounds like, Billy, you are raising your kids right, and we need more people around the country doing what you are doing. But, Billy, you got to do one more thing to be a great parent. You got to tell your kids to listen to KWAM. That's
they get enough of the conservative talk with me and what they do. They're getting raised right.
I love it. Hey, Billy, thank you for calling in. And that is an interesting perspective. And again, you know, because you were a military recruiter. So we appreciate your insight there. Folks, we're going to open up the phone lines. By the way, Senator Marsha Blackburn coming up. Also, Congressman Andy Biggs from the House Freedom Caucus. And the guy who wrote the Texas abortion bill, Senator Brian Hughes. We're going to talk to him. That's going to be a lot of fun. Plus your calls, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And we're doing trivia in the next hour. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right, folks. Hello. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is hour two of the big show. We got a lot going on this hour of the program. The author of the Texas pro-life law is going to be here a little bit later on. Also, Andy Biggs from the House Freedom Caucus is going to drop by. And, of course, we're going to be playing a little trivia later on today as well. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926 and the website is toddstarnes.com. I want to go right now, though, to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always an honor to have with us Senator Marsha Blackburn from the Volunteer State. Senator, hope you're doing well today.
I am doing well. We are outside in Tennessee, and it's a beautiful day.
Well, especially after the big win yesterday up in Knoxville. So it's always a good day when the Volunteers win.
You're exactly right. Very true.
You know, Senator, you have been at the forefront of the effort to hold the administration accountable, especially when it comes to what's happening in Afghanistan. We understand that many, many people, including children, have been left behind in Afghanistan. What can you tell us?
I can tell you that we're continuing our effort. Our Senate office and our caseworkers have done a stellar job. We've had over 2,000 cases that involve individuals coming out of Afghanistan, whether they're Tennesseans, American citizens, SIV holders, or SIV applicants. We think that the way Joe Biden has gone about this, leaving Americans behind in enemy lines, foregoing the conditions-based withdrawal that President Trump, Secretary Pompeo, had negotiated not only with the Afghan government, but with our NATO partners, our allies. And the way that this has been handled, it has been destructive to our U.S. morale. It is, of course, going to cost lives. We're continuing our work every day. There are organizations of veterans and many times Christians that are trying to get missionaries and aid workers out. So we're continuing to work on it, Todd. We are not going to let this go. I think that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Lloyd Austin and Mark Milley and Antony Blinken, Susan Rice, they should all resign.
And yet no one has been held accountable. And it's shocking to see time after time this president turn his back on the media. He refuses, even today when that catastrophic jobs report came out, they were asking about Afghanistan. And as soon as they did, that was his cue, turn around, walk away. And I'm not sure what the strategy here is, because I don't think the American people are going to forget what this administration has done in Afghanistan.
No, they're not going to forget. And the thing is, they feel like they have a window to do what they set about to do when Barack Obama was president. And bear in mind, it is the same cast of characters that were there with Obama that are running the show. It is Susan Rice. It is Wendy Sherman. It is Valerie Jarrett. It is Barack Obama. They wanted to radically transform this country. That was their goal. That's what they intended to do. They were not successful. Hillary Clinton lost. So they see this narrow window between now and the 22 elections when they can go in here and they can force these issues. They can change our policy on life. They can cozy up to the communist Chinese, which they have been doing. They can try to put us back in the Iran nuclear deal. They can put their Green New Deal in place. And they have made a travesty of this in Afghanistan. And no, I do not think the American people are going to forget this. But what they need to realize right now and what they need to be doing to hold these elected officials accountable is to say, we know what you're up to. We do not agree with you. Do not take away our freedoms. Do not take away our First Amendment. Do not take away our Second Amendment. Don't take away any of the rest of them. Support the military so that we get rid of some of these generals like Austin and Milley who have made these decisions to come out of Afghanistan and to leave people behind. You know, the only military member that has lost their job because of this is the lieutenant colonel who said, I want accountability. I want to know why you would give away Bagram Airfield. We need to know what is going on. And we have 13 dead service members. We have people that are behind the enemy lines. And we have a president who broke his promise.
Well said. Senator Marsha Blackburn on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Senator, we had President Trump on the show Monday. He is very concerned that the actions of the Biden administration in Afghanistan could lead to terrorism on American soil. Senator Tom Cotton said yesterday that many of the thousands of people that are coming here, the refugees, have not been vetted. Is that a concern for you?
Oh, it's a tremendous concern. As I said, we had 2,000 cases in our office. Many of these had been properly vetted. They were SIV holders. They were the family members of SIV holders. People that had worked for our embassy, had worked with our military, with our National Guard. They were drivers. They were intel sources. They were staff aides. They were interpreters. They were translators. They were people who had fought. They had fought in the war on terror. And Todd, I think it's so important for people to remember, we called this the war on terror because we were not fighting a nation state. We were fighting an ideology. That fight will continue. The war on terror is not over. If anything, Joe Biden and his actions have put this fight on, have escalated the fight, because now the Taliban, the people that have this ideology, they now control a country, a nation state. They also have been able to armor their fighters because we left all the equipment there at Bagram Airfield, and now the Taliban has that equipment.
It's tragic. It is absolutely tragic. Senator, always appreciate you coming on the program. Thank you for your time today.
Good to talk with you. Thank you.
All right, Senator Marsha Blackburn, and painting a fairly bleak picture of where we are here when it comes to Afghanistan. And as a matter of fact, we do have that audio from Senator Tom Cotton talking about the fact that many of these Afghan refugees coming onto American soil have, in fact, not been vetted. Let's play that audio.
We have to get answers. I know the Biden administration has been saying for the last 3 weeks, oh, there'll be time for an after-action review once we're done in Afghanistan, once all of our troops are out. But just today, you started hearing a different tune from John Kirby at the Pentagon, for instance, saying that they can't conduct an after-action review. What they really mean is they won't. But I will, and the Congress will. We will get the answers. Just yesterday, for instance, we demanded answers from the administration about all of the Afghans they evacuated out of the country because they screwed it up coming and going, Tammy. We left the vast majority of loyal Afghans who served alongside of our American troops there in country, even if they had a visa approved. Yet we apparently also evacuated tens of thousands of Afghans who had no clear or direct connection to American troops and who we really have no idea who they are or ability to vet them. So Joe Biden cynically used the plight of those loyal Afghans who served alongside of American troops to evacuate tens of thousands of Afghans who had no right to be in the country and is now bringing them into the country by the tune of thousands every day with no ability to vet whether or not they're a security threat at all.
In other words, they are literally bringing terrorists into the United States of America knowingly. This report from Human Events that as many as 9,000 of the Afghan refugees are going to be living at Fort Dix in New Jersey. And the base commander has been telling the troops there, you are not allowed to share any photographs, no photographs of what's going on at that military base. So you know something is going on. All right, let's get to the phones here, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Cliff in Salem, Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. Hi, Cliff, what's on your mind?
Well, I listened to Tom Cotton and Marsha Blackburn. They're both good people. And the one thing that Marsha left out was that we had 19 senators, Republican senators, vote with the Democrats to kind of set up the move toward the $3.5 trillion. And she didn't mention Mitch McConnell jumping in to squelch any Republican discussion of impeachment of Biden.
Right. Well, and again, Cliff, the reason why is we had her on to talk about what's happening in Afghanistan, but we all know Mitch McConnell is worthless and he hates the Make America First agenda. So no surprises there.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I wanted to mention, in the Obama administration, we had the term management decline being used quite a bit, and I'd kind of forgotten about it. But the managed decline of the U.S. is what we're now seeing reappear with this Biden-Obama administration we have now. And the actions they took in Afghanistan were just criminal, giving our weapons to the enemy. That was a definite decision, you know. So they're again managing the decline of the U.S. The same thing with the COVID shot. You know, COVID is a real virus, but if you listen to Dr. Zelenko out of New York, he points out that there's a lot of things that are going on, and there's a $20 treatment if given to the people. Initially, they will not have to go to the hospital, and somehow our administration was prohibiting the distribution of that information, you know, shutting it down. So they're really full bore in managing our decline, I think.
No, well, yes, and that is all part of what I believe to be an overall scheme to force our country to embrace socialism and ultimately communism, Cliff. That's where I think this is going. It's a good thought that you have there and a fine perception. Cliff, thanks for the call. Folks, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, we told you that we're going to be doing some trivia, and we're going to throw out the first trivia question of the day. Happy Days. Remember the TV show Happy Days? Remember Potsy and Ralph Mouth, the whole gang there, Richie Cunningham? We want to know who played the Fonz. Who played the Fonz on Happy Days? 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Grace Baker, do you remember this show?
I've never seen it.
You've never seen Happy Days. You see, this was back in a time, in an era, when TV shows actually had really great theme songs. And maybe we should throw this open to the callers, the listeners. Maybe your favorite or some of the best TV theme songs of all time.
Oh, man. I like Friends.
Okay, that doesn't count. That
why?
Is that the show where they've got the couch on the sidewalk and they're frolicking?
Yes.
And yeah, I don't like. I never did like Friends. I thought Seinfeld was pretty good, but they really didn't have a theme song.
They had like a little tune.
They had the bum ba dum bum bum. Yeah,
yep, that's it.
Yeah. But you had like Cheers, where everybody knows your name, and that's a tear jerker.
Oh gosh. Well, everybody, I don't want to cry.
I know, because it's like it makes you feel good.
Oh,
you know, that
okay.
People
so it's
care
like
about
nostalgic.
You want to go where everybody knows your name.
Oh, there
you
want
to go to Cheers.
Well, you know what? Where I want to go? To
home?
A trivia winner.
Oh, trivia winner. Okay, sorry. It's all right. Hang tight. So let's go to the phones. The trivia question was, who played the Fonz on Happy Days? Let's go to Seattle. Doug is listening to us today. Hi, Doug. How are you?
Hey, Todd.
All right, Doug. The question is, who played the Fonz, Arthur Fonzarelli? Who was that, Doug?
That was Henry Winkler.
Yes, you are absolutely correct. Congratulations, Doug. Were you a fan of the TV show growing up?
Oh, yes. Watched it with Richie and Ralph Mouth. Yep.
And, of course, Mrs. C, who always had the apron on. She was and always wore a dress. Did you notice that?
That's true. Yep. I forgot about that.
Always wore the dress when she was doing the house cleaning. Grace Baker, do you wear a dress when you clean the house?
No way.
Do you make Mr. Grace clean the house?
No, I mean, it's a team effort. I clean the house, but why would I wear a dress?
Well, because that's what all the women, all the housewives in the 50s, 60s, and 70s wore.
I don't want to get my nice dress ruined when I'm house cleaning up dog hair. No, thank you.
I'm just saying. And then Doug, you know, not only that, but then you had Laverne and Shirley, which was a spinoff of Happy Days.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And, you know, the other thing, Todd, what about Opie Taylor turned out to be Richie Cunningham? So there's a connection.
Well, that would have been a great trivia question, too, because you're absolutely right. There's that Andy Griffith Show connection there because Opie Taylor was, in fact, Richie Cunningham. You're right. Ronnie Howard was his
name. That's it.
All right. Hey, Doug, congratulations. We're going to put you on hold, and we're going to hook you up with a prize, so don't go anywhere. We'll throw out a couple of more trivia questions throughout the show. And of course, maybe another question of the day. Do you have a favorite when it comes to TV theme songs? All right, let's go to the phones, 901-260-5926. Lee, Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. So, Lee, I know you want to talk about the military here. Why is it that people are not signing up for the military?
Well, Tom, to be honest with you, let me just say this before I tell you. You know, I'm a vet. I mean, you know, being in high school during the 60s and 70s, I always had in the back of my mind, would I make it? Because I felt like it was a duty, an honor to be in the military and protect your country, you know. The reason I say it that is because I feel like all that don't exist anymore. I mean, people don't realize people jumping out of helicopters or planes and landing on the roof in the United States and killing your mama and your daddy, your sister, babies and everything. People don't look at that. It can happen here, Todd.
I'm not sure I'm following you. So why is it you think people are not joining the military? We got about 10 seconds, Lee.
No honor for country.
Wow. You didn't need 10 seconds. No honor for country. Lee, we want to honor you, sir. We want to say thank you for serving our nation. And it's because of your sacrifice and your service that we're actually able to broadcast this radio program. So I want to say God bless you. No honor for country. Wow. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? Is Lee on to something here? Are we raising a generation that's not proud to be American? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
exciting and new. Come aboard.
We're expecting you. Oh, keep that going. I love this song.
Life's sweetest reward.
You guys remember the Love Boat, Captain Stubing, it Gopher, Doc. Here we go. Sing it, America. You know the song. Grace Baker, this is TV right here. TV music. TV theme songs, Grace Baker.
You're just trying to educate me today, aren't you?
This is why America. This is why America is falling, because we're not teaching the next generation about TV greatness.
So basically, we just need good theme songs again, and the world will be well.
Hold on. Okay, there we go. Yeah, I love that. I love that transition.
Save America.
Great theme songs, but then you had the Love Boat, and then you had Fantasy Island. Afterwards.
I've heard of that.
Deep lane. With a little midget guy. No, I'm sorry, a little person. Tattoo.
Oh, gosh.
Mr. Rourke and a little tattoo.
Friday, don't get in trouble.
No, I'm not going to get in trouble. Hold on. Yeah, big finish. So, little jazz hands.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. 901-260-5926. Our toll-free number is still under repair, but we're using a backup number, 901-260-5926. You know, we've been talking a lot over the past couple of days about the incredible work that the good people of Texas are doing to protect the unborn. And I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're very honored to have with us the man responsible for this incredible legislation, this heartbeat bill, State Senator Brian Hughes. Senator, good to have you with us today.
Todd, thanks for having me on. I enjoy your show. I've been a fan for a while, and it's an honor for me to get to talk to you.
Well, you're very kind to say that, and we apologize for the theme songs. We've been talking TV theme songs, so you got to lighten it up every now and again, Senator.
It helps.
You know, I was reading an editorial in the Wall Street Journal, and I got to tell you, I've been a little surprised by the Republican and conservative pushback to the legislation coming out of Texas. Were you surprised?
Todd, we were, and I tell you this, we're thankful the Journal is going to let us reply. We're working on something that they're going to publish, and we're thankful for them doing that. My goodness, private citizen enforcement is nothing new. You know, the concept goes back to the English common law. It's happened in consumer protection in America since the 1960s. There's nothing unusual about it. And in this case in particular, you may have read about this, but in the fall, at the end of 2020, we had district attorneys around the country, many of them in Texas, elected DAs, prosecutors, who publicly stated, we're not going to enforce a heartbeat bill. You can pass one if you want to, but we will not enforce it. So these folks, sworn to uphold the law, said we're just not going to do it. So they didn't leave us with much of a choice but finding another way to enforce the law. So citizen private enforcement makes sense. It's been there for a long time. We've done it for years for Medicaid fraud in Texas. Any Texan who has evidence of Medicaid fraud can bring a claim, a civil claim, and that's how this works. This is nothing new. This just makes sense.
Again, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Senator Brian Hughes, he is the author of the first heartbeat bill in the United States history to take effect. The law recognizes the universal sign of life, the heartbeat. Senator, it seems to me, in spite of all of the blowback and all of the bluster and bloviating, the reality is, sir, you followed the science here.
Todd, I'm so glad you said that. The left always tells us follow the science. That's what we did, man. You nailed it. Think about your earliest memories, your mother's heartbeat. Think about that heart monitor with the loved one in the hospital. If you have a pulse, you have a beating heart. And we had expert testimony before the Senate committee that said that fetal heartbeat is the sign of life. Also, the best evidence and the best likelihood that child is going to be carried to term and be delivered. And so we're following the science, the heartbeat. And you know this well, that little unborn baby inside her mother's womb, man, she is the most innocent, the most helpless, the most deserving of protection a human can ever be. So we're really excited to have this law, as you say, the first one to take effect. It's the law today in Texas.
Senator, I'm wondering if you could tell our listeners why you decided to tackle this particular issue.
Well, thank you so much. I've been in the Texas Senate for in my second term. I was in the House before that. And so this question about innocent human life, pro-life, that's what got me involved in politics. As a young man, as a student, when I learned what abortion was and what happens, and had that little baby, what happens to the little baby inside her mother's womb, it was shocking to me. And so I got involved in politics, began to volunteer on campaigns, and it, just like millions of other Americans, you know this. That's why so many of us are involved. And so I've been working on pro-life matters my whole time in the legislature. And so we saw other states passing pro-life, passing heartbeat laws, but seeing them blocked by the courts. And so we worked on these concepts for a while, and we wanted to find a way to get a law that would be enforced. So we looked at Supreme Court precedents. We looked at circuit court precedents, other states' laws, other courts. And with the help of a lot of sharp lawyers and law professors lawyers in and out of the Capitol, we were able to develop this. So I'm not taking all the credit for it, but I get to be involved in it, and we're very thankful.
Well, I know a lot of unborn babies are very thankful, and a lot of pro-lifers are just incredibly grateful as well. Senator Amy Klobuchar shared this on her Twitter feed. I'd like to get your response to it. She's quoting Justice Sotomayor. The justice says, in effect, Texas has deputized the state citizens as bounty hunters, offering them cash prizes for civilly prosecuting their neighbors' medical procedures. Your reaction to that?
Again, the idea of citizen enforcement of civil laws is nothing new. It's been done in America for decades. It's been English common law forever. This is nothing new. This is about protecting that little unborn baby inside her mother's womb. The left never wants to talk about the baby. A little baby with a beating heart is a human. But let's talk about the mothers. We love and respect those mothers. And in Texas, we have increased funding. We have doubled funding for the Alternatives to Abortion program. We provide state and federal funding to help mothers in these difficult situations. So not only while they're carrying the baby, but after the baby comes along, tangible help, financial help, encouragement, counseling, all kinds of services for these mothers. We can protect that little baby and love and respect that mother at the same time. We do both, and that's important.
Well, the irony here, it's just staggering, Senator, because this is exactly what the Biden administration has been telling people to do when it comes to the China virus, is to literally go and point out your neighbors and report them to the police.
I'm afraid you're right.
My goodness. Well, look, Senator, congratulations. And I know many other states are very interested in following the blueprint here. Are you hearing from other states and lawmakers in other states about how you guys did this?
Todd, yes, I am. In fact, Senator Jason Rapert is the author of the Arkansas Heartbeat Law, and a great bill, and it was enjoined by the courts, and he's been working on this. He publicly stated yesterday he's having a bill drafted to amend the law to take this approach. A number of other state legislatures we've heard from and other conservative groups are working with. So over the next weeks and months, I think you're going to see several states pass laws along these lines.
You know, I know real quick here before we have to ramp it up, Dick Morris, the longtime political pundit, was on Newsmax, has a column up and says that this law is actually going to hurt Republicans in the midterm elections because it's going to mobilize the Democrats. I contend, Senator, this is going to mobilize Republicans who finally, and especially conservatives who are saying finally, somebody did something here to protect the unborn. So I think this is going to have the exact opposite impact.
Todd, I could not agree with you more. So many people get involved in politics at whatever level, whether it's voting, giving money, volunteering, running for office, and they're motivated by this issue, and they're frustrated to not see much done, or we get something done and the courts block it. Finally, some success, little babies' lives are being saved. I'm with you. This is going to motivate pro-lifers and cause all of Americans to think about that little baby inside her mother's womb and how she needs protection. We're excited about it.
Well, you know, good for you guys. Senator, we're proud to stand alongside of you and others who are defending the unborn, and we're excited to see what this does all over America. God bless you, sir.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, State Senator Brian Hughes from Texas, he's the guy who wrote this bill that became law that everybody is talking about. And that's one of the things we like to do on this program, folks, is bring you the newsmakers, the movers and the shakers, so we can ask them the questions and we can get them on the record. But it is really interesting to watch so many of these Republicans in name only who are out there bashing the state senator and suggesting that this is a horrific piece of legislation. And you heard what Justice Sotomayor said. The reality is that's exactly what they're doing now with the China virus. They have weaponized the China virus, and they're coming after all of us. Reporting on your neighbors. It's unbelievable. All right, look, we're going to throw out another trivia question as we go to break here. We've been talking about happy days. Here is the next question. On which network did Happy Days originally air in the United States? What network, what television network did Happy Days originally air on in the United States? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
It's the Todd Stern's Radio Show.
I could feel your heartbeat, but you didn't even say a word.
Oh, I know, pretty woman, that you love to be heard.
You can feel my heartbeat too.
Wait a second, is this the Partridge Family? Oh, wow. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I don't know why we're on a TV theme song kick today, but what the heck, it's Friday, Labor Day weekend. So this is not the Partridge Family theme song. They actually had an iconic theme song, but they would always do the live music on the show. They would play some sort of a musical, you know, selection on the show.
Well, this song was especially requested by Michael from Memphis.
Really? So
this
Michael,
specific song.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
He
so
loved the song.
I didn't realize I was playing DJ today.
I didn't either.
All right. We need to play. What is the song again? I Can Feel Your Heartbeat. Is that that's the name of the song? All right. I Can Feel Your Heartbeat by the Partridge Family. This goes out to, who is this? Michael in Memphis. I was never a good
Michael
DJ.
From Memphis.
Michael from Memphis. All right, Michael. Hope this makes your day. Get out there. Have a good one. 95 degrees at 1251.
We're not done yet, Todd.
I know. I'm just trying to say. It is what
it
is.
We still got more trivia to play.
Yes, we do. All right. We do have a trivia question on the table here. Let's go to, you know, we haven't talked to anybody from Georgia in a while. Let's go to Randall in Buford, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hey, Randall, how's it going today?
Doing great, Todd. I hope you and your family are doing well.
You know what? We're doing good. We're going to be better tomorrow. Tailgating, big University of Memphis football game.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you a big Georgia Bulldog guy?
That I am.
All right. Y'all have got a big game, I believe, tomorrow as well.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right.
We do, Todd.
Let's try to win you a prize here, Randall. We're talking about ABC. You know what? I just blew it, didn't I? I just and
the American Broadcasting Company.
I think I won a prize. Yeah, you got it. Happy Days.
I love it, Todd.
Yep. It's live radio.
As well as Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, Shamil. Yeah, what a great. I used to love that theme song, Laverne and Shirley. And then you had, Lenny and Squiggy.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Those were good times, good times. All right, Randall, we're going to put you on hold here, and we'll get that sorted out. Grace, I'm really sorry. I just completely botched that.
Man. I don't know. That's a big strike there, Todd. But it's Friday, so I guess it's okay.
All right, get Randall taken care of, and remind me to tell you a Happy Days story. But I want to go back to the Partridge Family. This was an amazing bit of TV history. I was watching a documentary. I had absolutely nothing else to do. Could not go to sleep. This was back when I was recovering from getting the China virus vaccine. And I was watching a documentary on the Cowsell family, C-O-W... S-E-L-L-S, I think, the Cowsells. And it was the Partridge Family was actually based on a real-life musical family. And it was this, they just, the whole family screwed up. I mean, drugs, alcohol, the whole nine yards. But the father was a military guy, and the sons had a rock band back in the late 60s, early 70s. And this rock band was very popular. They were sort of like, you know, the little Justin Biebers of their era. And so the father forced the boys to put their mother into the band. That would, I understand why it would cause them to drink and do drugs. I mean, you don't want to force your mom into your, you know, into your garage band. But then it all sort of fell apart over time. But anyway, that's the story there. And of course, the Partridge Family, David Cassidy, I forgot that David Cassidy died, recently. I think he was 67 years old. Very sad, very sad. You know what? We're going to throw out another trivia question, by the way. This is about the Batman movie. And Avery is not allowed to play this trivia contest here because he's a big, huge Batman fan. Which actor played Batman in the 1997 film Batman and Robin? So, again, this is the 1997 film, Batman and Robin. Who played Batman in that movie? If you know the answer, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And we will we'll be taking your calls on that coming up after the top of the hour news. By the way, coming up after the break, Congressman Andy Biggs is going to join us. The House Freedom Caucus now calling for the resignation of President Biden, among others in the administration. We're going to be talking to Congressman Andy Biggs coming up after the news break. Now, Grace, real quick, I got to tell this to you. So the term jumping the shark.
Okay, yes.
That came from Happy Days.
Oh.
So there was a moment. Happy Days used to be the top TV comedy in all of America.
Wow.
And then it started kind of, you know, kind of falling away. And there was a scene where Fonzie had to ride his motorcycle over a pool of sharks.
Oh, my.
And so we had to jump over the sharks. Where the term, well, folks, you've jumped the shark. And that's where it came
something
from.
New every day.
You see, this is an education.
It is.
All these homeschool kids listening to our show right now, they're learning. This is learning. Soak in the knowledge, children. Soak in the knowledge. All right, got to take a break here, folks. Trivia, Congressman Andy Biggs. A lot going on in the last hour of the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
You know, Grace, I should have taken the day off. I really should have taken the day off.
Yeah, you've been a little off, Todd.
I'm blaming the Moderna vaccine for all of this. So our chief executive officer just sent me an email. He forwarded me an email.
No.
He said, is this you? Are you talking about Fonzie on Happy Days? What are you doing? So we were having a conversation about TV theme songs. And I was trying to explain to Grace about the phrase jump the shark. Fonzie was not on his motorcycle, as we have been deluged with telephone calls.
Yeah.
And I knew this. I don't know how I screwed this
trying
up.
Trying to make me work today.
But Fonzie was actually wearing his leather jacket with... He was wearing the leather jacket on the skis.
Yes.
As he was jumping the shark.
So. I now know that because of our callers.
Yes.
Not because of you.
But you know what? You're still learning.
I'm learning.
We learn. And here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show, when we make a mistake, we correct the mistake on the air. Right, Grace Baker?
Exactly.
Make it right. All right. So No more trivia. No, I'm just kidding. We got some more trivia coming up a little bit later on. Good to have you with us, ladies and gentlemen. This is hour three of the Todd Stearns Radio Show on this Labor Day weekend edition. You know, a lot of folks are taking the day off, but not us, because we wanted to do live radio. Well, look, one of the great American patriots that we have on this program on a pretty regular basis, and a man who truly did know that Arthur Fonzarelli jumped the shark wearing a leather jacket, is our good friend Congressman Andy Biggs from Arizona. Hey, Congressman.
Hey, Todd. It's good to be with you. And yes, I could have answered that. The whole cast, I think, had gone over to Hawaii. And so he's jumping the shark on the ramp.
I'm ashamed. I should have known this, Congressman. But, you know, you live and learn. It's Friday.
It's a part of Americana, Todd.
It is. There you go. Congressman, a lot going on to talk about. And I know that the House Freedom Caucus, you guys now calling for the president to resign. I want to get your reaction to what happened earlier today. I mean, we're talking about catastrophic job numbers as a result of this president.
Yeah, I mean, look, you have 8.5 million people that they're counting as unemployed in the country. And part of that is because they want to keep people paying people who are unemployed. But also just the disincentives that they're putting into the economy. And you know what, Todd? We went from probably the best economy in 56 to 75 years under Donald Trump. Then we got the COVID. And these guys in the White House have no clue how to fix it. So add on top of the unemployment figures. By the way, you know that they're not counting all the unemployed. They don't count the underemployed fully and all that. They've manipulated the numbers anyway. But also add in the fact that you got horrible inflation, and you got a recipe for a lot of people in a lot of pain.
And so now you have domestic chaos. You have economic chaos. You have international chaos with what's been happening in Afghanistan.
No, that's exactly right. And so it's this administration has managed to, and because we were on our way in about within 3 months' time of the direction we were in, the direction that has brought us to this point, in just a few short months to basically dismantle this country. And not only that, I mean, we talk about the threats, the security on the border in Afghanistan, worldwide, our loss of prestige. We talk about inflation. We talk about high crime rates. But we're not talking about the sociological impact this president's trying to do. CRT, he's going to tackle the Texas abortion law. And they want to basically, when I say they, Pelosi, Biden coming, they want to either stack the court, or they want to create a law that would preempt state regulation of abortion. And that's where they are. They want absolute power and control. They're going to give you a third vaccine booster. When that fails, they'll give you a fourth. They want to prevent you from traveling unless you're vaccinated. They want to prevent you from opening your business. They want to prevent you from shopping unless you're vaccinated and have a passport. It's about power and control with these people. They don't understand that they don't know enough, and no one individual knows enough to control the world.
You know, Congressman, we had the guy who wrote the Texas abortion law, the heartbeat bill, just on in the last hour of the show. And he told me that he was really surprised that some Republicans are actually speaking out vocally, against the abortion law, including, of course, the Wall Street Journal. Dick Morris, writing over at Newsmax, says this could cost the Republicans victories in Congress in the midterms in 2022. What say you about that?
I think that they're overwrought. I've seen some of that stuff, some of the criticism that are coming out, and they're really, truly overwrought. We have a heartbeat bill in Congress that I've co-sponsored for every year I've been there, and we can't get it out. We can't get it out of the House even. So I would say that this hand-wringing is wrong. But you know, Todd, my position has always been I'm an adamant pro-lifer. I can't support anybody who is in a pro-life. I don't care if you're going to go to be the dog catcher or whatever. yet in my mind, the first liberty is the liberty of life. And people standing up and saying, well, this is going to harm us. We have had somewhere north of 40 million abortions since Roe v. Wade. And it's time to really recalibrate as a country.
No, you're absolutely right, Congressman. Well, look, we appreciate you coming on the program as always and hope you and the Biggs family have a great Labor Day weekend.
You too, Todd. You too. Take care of yourself.
All right. Congressman Andy Biggs, ladies and gentlemen, from the House Freedom Caucus, the chairman of that great organization, standing up for patriots and standing up for America. And we greatly appreciate that on this radio program. Hey, let's go to the phones. Roger, listening to us on WDUN in Gainesville, Georgia. Got a trivia question on the table. Roger, here is the question. Which actor played Batman in the 1997 film Batman and Robin?
That was George Clooney.
And you would be absolutely correct. Oh, is that the
Batman? It was also the first time they put nipples on the Batsuit.
Oh, is that the... That was Nipplegate. Yes, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was it. Mm-hmm. No, right, it made me laugh. I went, well, you know.
Well... I guess that's when Batman jumped the shark. So I don't know.
Well, that would have been when they got rid of my feet.
Oh, I think we lost Roger, but we're going to put Roger on hold there. I forgot about the nipples. Jeez, Alou. All right, hang tight, Roger. We're going to get you hooked up with a prize package here. By the way, here is our next trivia question as we go to break. 1994, great film, Forrest Gump. Remember that movie, Forrest Gump? That was a song with a lovely, that was a movie with a great theme song. Forrest Gump, the lead character, Forrest Gump, compares life with what? What was it that Forrest Gump compared life with? Give us a call if you know the answer, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Oh, another good one.
Straightening the curves.
This is even the best part of the song.
Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will. Making their way, the only way they know how.
Now, Grace Baker, you know what this song is.
Not really.
Grace, you have got to be kidding me. All right. It's called The Dukes of Hazzard.
I'll go stand in the corner.
Go stand in the corner. But I want you to learn. You need to soak in the knowledge, Grace.
I am. I'm learning.
You're going to need this on. You're going to
judge.
You're going to need the. Thank you very much. I forgot about the ending. You're going to need this on trivia night down at the, the Brookhaven pub.
Yep, this is true.
So you got to learn.
This is true.
All right. Well, there you go. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show on this Labor Day weekend edition. I got a couple of trivia questions out there. Let's go to the phones. We're going to say hello to Mike in Virginia. All right, Mike. In the 1994 film Forrest Gump, the lead character, Forrest Gump, compares life with what?
A bowl of cherries.
No, it's... No, it's not cherries.
How about that?
No, can't try another one, Mike. That's you got to give us a call back on another day. But Grace,
I don't know why I find that so funny, but I just
a bowl of cherries.
Bowl of cherries.
That's not it.
Oh no!
Oh my gosh!
I'm just imagining the scene. I'm just imagining that now. Never could think of it the same way again. But I'm not going to give away the answer.
Let's go to Suzanne in Georgia. Why is that so funny?
That is funny.
Oh, oh my word.
I can think of it as the Witches of Eastwick.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm hurting here, Suzanne. I'm hurting. All right. Forrest Gump, 1994. We love you, Mike. We're laughing with you, brother. We're laughing with you. All right. Suzanne, 1994. Forrest Gump, the lead character, compares life with what?
A box of chocolate.
Yeah. Sweet Lord. Yes. Yes, you're correct. A box of chocolates.
Man, Todd, I was about to have to say the trivia question for you.
Oh, my goodness. That was funny. Wow.
That was better than my answer.
Wow. Well, we should have given Mike a prize anyway. I love it. Yes, Suzanne, that is correct. Life is just a box of chocolates, so you never know what you're going to get.
That's right.
Suzanne, all right, we're going to put you on hold. Hang tight and congratulations. Grace, why was that so funny? You were bowled over.
I was. I don't know why. I just thought it was funny.
Yeah, I think we just need a good laugh.
I think we did. And it was so, like, it was one of those ones, and, you know, it was like he was, like, the first caller, and he said it so confidently, and I was like, and then everybody else, you know, had the other. And I just thought it was funny because I'm like, that's one I just didn't suspect an answer.
You know
like
what?
That.
And that's the way trivia
I
is.
Love it.
Just own your answer.
Own your answer. Be
own
confident.
Your answer. That Mike from Virginia, he owned his answer.
He did.
Good for you, sir. It was wrong, but you owned it. That's he owned it. All right. I got to play some audio for you. So we've been telling you about this communist teacher out in California, a guy by the name of Gabriel Geip, and he is a member of Antifa. He's flying the Antifa flag in his classroom. And when moms and dads found out about this, Project Veritas did the big expose. And this mom went to the school board with her daughter in tow. And she gave them the what for. I mean, hundreds of parents turned out for this. But this mom really struck a chord with what she had to tell this school board. Let's take a listen. Cut eight.
Second thing is, the reason why my daughter is standing behind me is because my job as her parent is to protect her from anybody that has ill will towards her. So being that this is her first year at this high school, that is world-renowned, and everybody knows about this school. It's so perfect, and everybody does everything right. The first time my daughter tells me, and she goes against my wishes to come out of a classroom that's disruptive to her well-being, I have an issue. I am very articulate. My children are very well-read. They speak their opinion. They make sure that they are clear in what they do and do not like. And for the fact that my 17-year-old daughter had to come to me and said, "Mom, you don't understand. He's let me explain. This means that in 2 weeks, in 13 days, he was allowed to change my daughter's mind about some fascist crap that y'all have let in this school." I'm tired. This is ridiculous. I'm from Texas. So this don't go on in Texas. This does not go on in Texas. There are 2 grades higher than California, period. So to think that my very sound-minded daughter would go against me and my wishes and our values and our home to be able to go and support this man, and he is putting her in harm's way, what the hell are y'all doing? I'm tired. How long does it have to go on before somebody says something? How long? How long? What are you going to do? That's the question. Get him out of here. We don't care about this boy. He got to go.
Oh, he got to go. He got to go. Good for you, ma'am. Good for you. You know, I was with this lady from the start, and I'm like, wow. I mean, this is pretty impressive. You don't hear this kind of talk coming from California moms and dads. And then she says, you know, that she's from Texas. And I thought, oh, well, that makes sense, because she's right. They don't tolerate that kind of stuff in Texas. But to understand what she was saying, you need to understand the backstory. And she gave us a little bit of the backstory. So she's raising her parents, and this sounds like a very good mom. She is engaged and involved with her kids and their education. She wants to make sure they can think for themselves. And clearly that's what she's been doing, and that's how she's been raising her kids. So this particular school, this is in Sacramento, California, the Natomas School District. For those of you who watch NBA, this is where the Sacramento Kings used to play basketball. This is where the old Kings Arena was before they moved downtown. I used to work in Sacramento. KFBK, great radio station. So I've been to Natomas a time or two. So this mom, she wanted her child enrolled in this school, her 17-year-old, because it's an incredible school. It's got a great history. It's a very strict school. They've got a great track record for academics. And she talked about this in her speech, that she noticed that her daughter was coming home and talking about things that were contrary to the upbringing, to the values that she had instilled in her, into the child as her mother. And she was trying to figure out where all of this was coming from. And we don't know what the child was coming home and saying, but clearly I suspect it was nice things about Antifa and Castro and Mao Zedong and the whole nine yards. And so when Project Veritas comes out and says, well, here's the reason why your kid is turning into a communist, all you know what hit the fan. And I say, good for you, ma'am. And we need more moms and dads across America to do exactly what this mom did in California, which is to confront school board members. And by the way, the school board, they said, we need to take a break just to kind of regroup. You know what they did, folks? They didn't come back. They ran out the back door and got in their cars and left. Bunch of cowards. You got to vote these people out of office. Got to take a stand, ladies and gentlemen. Take a stand. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. May I just ask a question here, and I don't mean to be rude, but why are most of the pro-vaccine people such jerks? I mean, really, why are they such inhumane jerks? And that's really the nicest term I can use on the radio. I want to share this with you. This is from the Twitter feed called Libs of TikTok. And, man, do they have all sorts of great info and intel there. This is from a top cardiologist at the Mayo Clinic. Courtney Bennett is her name. And this is what Dr. B has to say on her social media page. I wish I was sharing something more exciting, but I can't because we live in a society of self-centered people who get their medical advice from sources like YouTube or One American News, yet beg us to help them breathe using technology developed by actual science when they're blue and gasping for air. Do me a favor and don't burden our hospitals because you are ignorant. Ask YouTube or OAN for help. Just in case you thought the situation with Candace Owens was an anomaly, it's not. There are many doctors out there, many medical professionals who are refusing to help those of you who come down with the China virus. Now, I will say this about Dr. Courtney Bennett, the top cardiologist at the Mayo Clinic. Here's my question for her. Where is your sympathy? Where is your concern for those of us who have gotten the vaccine and have developed heart problems as a result of getting the vaccine that you're forcing down our throats? My question for Dr. Courtney Bennett and all of you other medical experts out there, why is it that you're not out there weeping and apologizing for the many people who have taken the vaccine and have died? They've dropped dead. If you're going to, if you know, we can play this game if they want to play this game. But I contend that the vaccine really is not about saving lives. It's about politics. And people got incredibly angry at me because I dared come out and share my own experiences. They would have been okay if I would have said, I got the Moderna vaccine and stopped talking. But because I continued on and I shared with you, hey, look, I consulted with my doctor. My doctor said, get the vaccine. I consulted with my cardiologist. My cardiologist said, get the vaccine. I got the vaccine and I developed a heart problem that I did not have. All of a sudden, that makes me an evil person. You should see some of the messages I got from the medical community. How dare you? How dare you tell people they're going to suffer side effects from this vaccine? Who do you think you are? You know what? I'm a talk radio host. I'm an American citizen. And you've got people like Courtney Bennett out there, a cardiologist, telling people they're horrible human beings and that if they do come down with the China virus, then that's on them and basically they should die. Yeah, I'm going to speak out about that. And I think people do deserve to know. Does that make me a bad person? Did I do the wrong thing here? Because I believe that you need to know if you're going to get that vaccine, here's what you can expect. Your life could be radically changed as a result of getting the vaccine. And by the way, where's all the vitriol directed at China for inflicting all of this pain on the rest of the world? As near as I can tell, this was a biological weapon that was aimed to hurt the United States of America. And I believe mission accomplished. Now, Grace, I was joking a little earlier when I said, you know what? God forbid you go to the doctor with a broken arm and they turn you away.
Oh, no. Don't tell me.
This is from the Vancouver Sun, just north of the border. A 13-year-old boy who injured his wrist in a skateboarding incident was turned away from a walk-in clinic because he was not vaccinated.
What?
This is from the Vancouver Sun newspaper.
Oh, no. Here we go.
And the doctor said they must ensure unvaccinated patients are given the same access to care as vaccinated patients, but they're not. They're being turned away.
Wow.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. Poor kid got a broken wrist, and they turned him away. Unbelievable. But this is the reality. This is where we live, ladies and gentlemen. They're determined to make you get that China virus vaccine. They are determined. And I don't want to jump into the conspiracy swimming pool here, but I will say this. I'm going to be very curious to see the birth rates among all the vaccinated people in this country a couple of years from now. Because I have my suspicions about what this is really all about. I truly do. 901-260-5926. That's our telephone number. I'm curious. Have you gotten the vaccine? Have you refused to get the vaccine? Are you being forced to get it because of your job? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, I mean, there are some people out there now saying that it's very, very possible that we could have to get booster shots of the vaccine every couple of months. Honest to goodness, part of you wonders whether or not this is part of a grand scheme by the pharmaceutical industry to stick it to all of us every couple of months, literally in the arm. All right, let's go to the phones. Doug on the line. Doug, welcome to the program today. What's on your mind?
Oh.
All right.
And thank you for a couple of weeks ago at the Smokehouse Barbecue where you signed three books for me. I really appreciated that.
I was honored to do so. That was a great event, Doug. Glad you were able to get down there.
We're salt of the earth folks. And at 81, I decided with my wife to make four trips to the border simply to thank the officers for their hard work and give them a couple of gifts and encourage them for the huge task at hand. Actually, even pray with them on the border. And I've been to Laredo, Nogales, Carrizo Springs, and last Friday, I was in Lukeville, Arizona, 110 miles south of Phoenix. And what I have to report to you is really disturbing, but real time. I have 3 points. We met and interviewed 2 officers with up to 14 years of tenure. And at the border, they pointed out the wall was new within the last 2 years, but the Biden administration cut off the light and camera installations before the completion of the installations. I asked the officer where the migrants were coming from. They listed these countries: Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, Ecuador, Brazil, Pakistan. I said, Pakistan? He said, we have intelligence that the Afghans are already in Mexico, headed north.
Is that right?
That's my first piece of intelligence. Here's the second. We were asked to drive along the border wall at the Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument, and within 3 miles of the entry point at Lukeville, we photographed 4 open doors along the new wall. We found out that they were open 24/7 due to the monsoon season, possible flash floods. This is the second intel I want to tell you about. Open borders. I can send you photos. Environment over national security. And this wall parallels the Mexico Highway number 2 from the Baja to the inland, and through the wall I could see trucks and cars parked at the open doors that I thought were probably waiting for sunset. And this is the third point I need to tell you quickly. On our way back to Lukeville and the highway back to Phoenix, we encountered a migrant walking along the dusty road in 117 degree heat. And he asked for water, which we gave him. And we chose to carry him to find a border patrol. And on the way, he produced photos of his family, a video of a riot in his hometown that I thought he was probably going to show for asylum, and a Brazilian passport. I had my wife look at the passport, and it was issued May the 17th, 2021. No doubt, when the open door policy word got to Brazil, he chose to get a passport for travel to the USA. So those are my 3 intelligence reports. Afghans in Mexico, open doors on the Arizona border, and South Americans on their way with new passports.
Next week,
I'm going to California. I'm going to the Mexicali border, and I'm going to try to find out a little bit more info.
Doug, I'm curious, what were you most surprised to see when you were down there out of your 3 reports you share with us? What was the most surprising to you?
The open doors. I just nearly had a heart attack. There was this brown wall that we paid millions of dollars for all the way up on a straight line along the Arizona border and 3 miles from the closed entry point from 8 p.m. until 6 a.m. It's closed. Nobody can drive a car across or come. But 3 miles up the border, the doors are wide open. There were 4 of them in one place and 3 open in another out in the desert. Cleanly open. You can walk through 4 doors that are wide enough to probably put a grocery cart through.
Wow.
I have pictures that I'll send you.
Please
you
do. Yeah, please do.
Have the lady tell me what the email is, and I'll send it to you.
All right, we'll have the lady do that, Doug. Hey, God bless you, and thank you for dropping by, and we'll get that info from the lady. Hey, lady.
No, Todd.
It's Friday.
Uh-huh.
All right. Let's go to the phone. Thank you, Grace. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Kent, listening to us on KWAM. Kent, what's on your mind?
Well, I was calling in response to your comments about the vaccines and the side effects that you've experienced. I personally have not had the vaccine, and my position has been that since it's experimental and we haven't had the benefit of the test or controlled studies that would show you short and long-term issues, risks, then I haven't taken it. But in your case, my concern is that for people like yourself who have a side effect related, they're not going to be able to go to insurance to cover this kind of event.
Well, that could be. And again, for my situation, it's just a matter of dealing with pain for who knows how long. And it's pretty excruciating. I'm going to be honest with you. It is very unpleasant. And the other part of that is, you know, the blood pressure spike, which I never had. So now for the first time in my life, I'm having to take blood pressure medication. You know, it's not a fatal thing unless, you know, the blood pressure, you know, goes bonkers. But the fact of the matter is these are things that I did not have to worry about until I got that vaccine. And it would be nice to hold somebody accountable for that.
Right. And at this point, you know, to go ahead and encourage people to have something when the number of events being reported into the VAERS system increases every day, we continue to promote these vaccines, and I think that's irresponsible.
You see, I'm with you, Kent. I just don't think we've had enough time. You know, everybody points back to the polio vaccine. Okay, that took years of research and clinicals to develop. We're talking about something that happened in less than a year with the China virus vaccine.
Right.
All right. Yeah, I'm with you, Kent. It's a good thought you have. I think people should be held accountable. I truly do. We've got to run for a break. God bless you. And Kent raises a great point. I mean, should people be held accountable? Your employer, they force you to get the vaccine, and you have a side effect. God forbid you keel over. Should your employer be held accountable? What about the doctor who told you to get the vaccine, or the CDC who's out there promoting the vaccine? Should they be held accountable? If they're going to hold you accountable for not getting the vaccine, should they not be held accountable if you do get the vaccine and you keel over? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. By the way, Labor Day, I know a lot of people heading out, going on vacation, but the CDC says you should be staying at home. You shouldn't be going anywhere. You should be hiding in your home with the curtains closed, the doors locked. I mean, it's crazy stuff. Anyway, let's go to the phones here. Tim in Georgia wants to weigh in on a COVID situation at work. All right, Tim, what's going on? I'm intrigued.
Well, where I work, there's approximately 150 people on the floor. I'm right at 60. I have not taken any of the vaccines and don't plan on it, but I do support anybody that wants to take it. That's fine. That's your choice. Do as you please. They have a policy where I work that if you work next to somebody, you have to wear a mask. If you're around them 15 minutes or more and they come down with COVID, from what I understand from the last briefing we had, you have to stay out 14 days till you can get a test showing you don't have it. Now, if you were wearing the mask, they will pay. If you were not wearing the mask, the 14 days is out of your pocket.
Is that right?
So, they gave you the choice. They told you wear it. If you're around them and they get sick, you have to take 14 days off. They've installed cameras throughout the plant where they can watch every place. And thank God that I know he has built a hedge of protection around me. I am one of just a couple of people in the plant that have not missed a single day or an hour because of COVID since it started.
Well, good for you, Tim.
I believe as much as I'm sitting in my car right now, he has built a hedge of protection around me.
Well, good for you, Tim, and I'm glad you're doing well. Very odd situation there, but again, we had one of our other listeners reach out to us on social media, and they've got a very similar process that was just implemented at their workspace. So we'll have to see how that goes. Tim, gotta run. Thank you for calling. Thanks for listening. This from Alaska, Courtney Chavez of Wasilla. That's where Sarah Palin was the mayor back in the day. She has a an autoimmune disease, a blood clotting disorder, and a bleeding disease, so she cannot take the vaccine because it causes significant issues. She's been visiting a doctor for decades in Anchorage, and she got a call from the doctor's office saying that she was being dropped as a patient because she refused to get a China virus shot. So, geez, Lou, I tell you, some folks, unbelievable. Grace Baker got big plans for Labor Day. I know, big football game this weekend.
That's my only plan set in stone right now, is the football game.
Are you doing the tailgating?
Of course. I've got some friends now I can go tailgate with.
Well, that's good that you have friends.
Well, I had friends in college, but not ones that had tents, you know. You got to know somebody.
And you got to make sure, I mean, you don't want to show up with a bologna sandwich to the tailgate party.
I heard there's going to be hot dogs and nachos and burgers. And
hamburgers.
I know. And I was like, well, geez, do you need me to bring something? They're like, nope.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's going to be fun. Just bring an appetite.
Oh, yeah.
Bring an appetite. All right, folks, look, get out there. It has been a great, great week, and we're going to do this all over again. Our team's taking off on Monday. We're going to have a best of edition of the program. But you folks, get out there. Have a great Friday. Whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend, America.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.